Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and that means you're listening to Deborah Wolf, and I'm here calling from Camp Good Dog as usual on the radio today with someone who's had some very paranormal, very unusual, very beautiful experiences with animals. So we've got an author of several books coming to tell us about the stories about an incredible dog, Brandon, and how that was. Sayward Eyre, welcome to All Paws Pet Talk.
Thank you so much, Deb. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Oh, welcome, Sayward. I was reading the story you sent, and, you know, it's the kind of goosebump, chills up your spine sort of story. So maybe you want to tell us the beginning.
Which story was that?
Well, I'm thinking of Brandon. It's Brandon that I was reading about today.
Right, right. Well, I wasn't sure which goosebump story, because he and I had several. But I can give you one where he and I were down in Mexico one winter, and it was my first time down in Mexico. It was just over the border down in Rocky Point, just about 1 hour south of the Arizona border. And by that time he was very good on responding to me with voice command, and so I would allow him to go off leash because, you know, if I called him, he would come. And so he had seen a pack of dogs across the street, and he ran across the street to go visit them, which scared me a little bit because the Mexican dogs as a group, if they turned on him, it could be a nasty scene. But he made good friends with them. He was a pretty big boy, about 80 pounds or so, and he made good friends, and he was turning to walk to come back on his own, and it was nighttime, and the dirt road had been, not traveled. There hadn't been any cars on it, but all of a sudden there was this speeding car with headlights on coming towards down the road, and he was going to be cutting right across in front of it. And I just mentally yelled at him in my mind. I kept mentally saying, stay, stay, sit, sit, you know, and trying to envision to him that there was danger in the middle of the road. And he ended up turning and trotting alongside the far side of the road, and the car zoomed by, and I think it might have nicked his right shoulder a little bit, but it missed him, didn't kill him, thank God. And then he turned and came across, and I think he actually really got the message of what I was telling him, because mentally, because otherwise he would have just dashed right across the road. That's the way he was heading.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Anybody out there who's a little bit skeptical, who owns a cat and is listening right now, think about how hard it is to catch your cat, to take it to the vet. Okay.
Right.
Like every other time you can pick up your cat, you can pet your cat, your cat's always around. The minute you think in your mind, oh dear, I have to go get the cat and take it to the vet, your cat has received this message and it has gone into hiding.
That's
and everybody,
right.
It's just, they know. They absolutely know. There's a gland somewhere inside their nose that we don't have. Horses, dogs, and cats have it, and it's what saves them from tsunamis, and they do a lot of things we don't do. So I wish humans would stop thinking the animals are the same as us, only less, because some of the things, on some levels, they're more. So, okay, so how did Brandon teach you to treat him properly and with respect? Because that's a bit of something we don't normally have animals teach us. How did that go?
You know, that's a really interesting story. My father had raised us children with dogs, and he had always commanded very sternly that the dogs do this or do that. And he treated them very impersonally and not warmly at all, like they were machines. And so we kids grew up thinking that's how you treated animals, you know, of course. But when I got Brandon and he was young, and the same thing like you were just mentioning about the cat, I was trying to catch him and put him on a leash one morning. And he was pretty young. He was under a year at that point. And he wouldn't let me catch him because I had been commanding him with this very firm, my dad voice, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I was running around in circles trying to get him, and I couldn't get him. And finally, I just sat down on the grass and felt defeated and didn't know what to do. And I had a deadline I was trying to make, which is why I was trying to catch him real fast. And he came and he sat beside me, but just out of arm's reach. And I started to just talk to him in my low, normal friend voice and tell him, Brandon, we have to get you connected. I have to go to this thing. And I was just being very real to him and treating him as though he were another respectable person like any of us would treat each other, you know, or should treat each other. And he allowed me to get him. And it was from that I did a lot of thinking about that, and then I really realized that's how I need to treat him, like he's an intelligent, sensitive being that needs that respect and that honor.
I think there's a tendency to treat animals like they're stupid or simple or babies, and it's just not true. You've got an adult creature there, a creature with abilities and skills you don't have, in a partnership with you, a creature that's dedicated to your safety and well-being. And there's no reason to treat it like a machine. There's no reason to treat it like a baby, because that's not what you've got there. You've got an adult dog that's kind of in partnership with you, really, if you get it right. And that's what I think you two were working toward.
That's right. That's so true.
Yeah, so dog, now they did a study of this in England years ago, you know, very official study with control groups, placebos and the whole nine yards. And they found that when they tested dogs, they took a group where the owners reported the dogs knew when the owners were coming home. They took that group and they tested them to see if it was true. And they took another group and all the usual science. Okay, well, they found out it was absolutely true in the high 90th percentile that the dogs could predict when the people were coming home from work. And I know that happened to you too. So we actually only have a minute left. So we're going to come back from break to talk more about Brandon's special powers. And you know what? Your dog probably has those special powers too. And maybe today we can help you connect with that a little bit with Say Words Help, because she really bonded with this dog, Brandon. And there's some lessons to be learned from her stories. So we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk in just a little bit. We're going to listen to a sponsor and come right back and hear more about, did Brandon know when she was coming home from work? How did that play out? Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
Hello! You're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we're talking about a book called Connected by Consciousness. There are three in the series so far and one more coming out soon. And some of what Brandon's been up to is in there, some of these amazing things. We're going to talk about how he knew how he knows when you're coming home from work and how some dogs do. But in the meantime, I just learned that Sayward just told me about an encounter with a wolf that I think has to take precedence here. Please tell my audience about the wolf encounter.
Well, I think it was a wolf mix, not a pure wolf. But anyway, it was somewhere in a busy street in some South American city somewhere. And it was charging Brandon and me. And it was a very scary situation. It was a big beast, and it was running right at us as though it was going to attack. And I had already learned how to be alpha with Brandon. He basically taught me how to be alpha, which will all be in the book in the future about Brandon, the dog who grew me up and set me free. That book will be out in about a year. But what I did was, knowing how to be alpha, I saw this attack occurring, about to occur, and I just turned my full body, faced this charging animal, and with my mental forces just told it to stop. And I looked at it directly in the eye, and it came to a screeching halt and turned around and trotted back away from me.
That's totally amazing. And I believe it. I totally believe it. Dogs and cats walk around all the time sending thought messages. Horses do too. And they just don't get why we don't answer. Because we can answer. We just don't bother to. We don't even attempt it. We stand there screaming till our voice is hoarse, come, come, without ever sending the little picture of the dog walking over and sitting at your feet and getting cuddled. That's what he needs see, right? He needs to hear. Wait, show him in a picture in your mind what you want, and you're going to get it. And let me just say, though, as a warning, don't show him what you're afraid of. If you're afraid your dog is going to attack someone, don't picture him attacking that person. If you're afraid your dog is going to do something stupid, like run out on the road, don't picture it. Instead, picture him stopping at the curb. Picture him walking by the person, because your dog is receiving your thoughts like direct commands. And I think sometimes we just don't get that. So, Brandon, how did you figure out that Brandon knew when you were coming home?
I used to work as a massage therapist down in La Quinta at La Quinta Resort and Spa, and a dear woman friend of mine named Lorraine, she had a beautiful little black dog. She still has him. He's still alive. His name was Spady, and he was a cross between a lab and a smaller dog, so he was about half the size of Brandon. And on the days that I worked but she didn't, Brandon was able to stay with Lorraine and Spady at their house and, play with Spady all day. But it was over an hour drive away from where I worked. So when I would get off work, which was long before I'd get back to pick him up, he would get up. In Lorraine's house, he would get up from wherever they were, and he would go to the door and sit at the door and start waiting. And one time I called Lorraine from about halfway home on the phone, and she said she just realized what had happened is that Brandon had gotten up and gone to the door exactly when I should have been getting off work, and that he'd been doing that on other occasions, but she hadn't realized, you know, that's what was going on until this time. And I just thought that was amazing that I was thinking, I got to get home and get Brandon now. And he heard that, and he got up and went to the door.
You know, that British study they did try to trick the dogs. They had people go different routes home. They had people take different means of transportation. They had different times. They mixed it up, and the dog just knew. So Forget about it. He knows when you get off early. You can't see a trip to the beach without your dog, without him knowing. Okay, so I know we're almost running out of time, and I want to get to the quirky part of this story, because it seems like, well, Brandon had a good life, but he did pass, right? And
he did.
And what do you want to share with listeners about what's happened since then with Brandon?
Well, I just want to share something that I didn't realize. After he passed, I was so distraught and so a mess for quite a long time, because he was everything to me. He was my buddy, my hiking companion, my best friend, my adventure boy. You know, he was everything.
And I got to say, you seem to get yourself in a lot of scrapes. From the stories, he was your security guard. I'm telling you, you're lucky he was there.
Yeah, we looked out for each other. And one of the things that I didn't realize that after he passed, because of my grieving so deeply for so long, I think it was he wasn't able to get back to me. His spirit wasn't able to return and be around me because I was enveloped in this cloud of grief. But once I got past that, and I was able to be calm and peaceful and happy again, his spirit was able to return to me, and it actually did one time, one night.
What do you mean?
Well, I thought my motorhome, which I'd been living in for many years at that time, had been broken into in the middle of the night. I felt the rig rocking back and forth. I woke up from a sound sleep, and I was paralyzed, lying there in bed, face up on my bed, in the back of the motorhome, and knowing that something was walking down the motorhome, because I could feel as each footstep landed, I could feel the rig rocking back side to side, you know. And I was terrified. I thought that there was either a thief or a murderer or something in the rig, but then I couldn't figure out how it got in because I hadn't heard the side coach door open and close, because that was very loud. You know, that would have left a noise, and I would have woken up with that. So I couldn't figure out what was going, and I was terrified, lying there in fear. And all of a sudden, I felt the end of the bed, the foot end of the bed, depress with a ka-thunk, thunk. And then
yeah,
I felt
the weight of the body lying at the foot of the bed. You know, what? Sayward, I hate to tell you this, but we've totally run out of time. We're talking with Sayward Eyre, and she's author of quite a few books, including Connected by Consciousness, Everything Communicates. And if you want to hear the end of this story, what was on the bed? What was going on there? How is she sure that her dog came back? You're going to have to check her out online, because we're out of time, Sayward.
Thank you so much, Deb.
Well, how can they find you online?
My website address is saywardaire.com. That's SAYWARDAYRE.com. And the books are also available on Amazon.com under my name, or if you look up books by Sayward Eyre, you'll find all three books there. And there's a fourth book coming out at the end of August.
Well, thank you very much, Sayward. My listeners, I'm sure, are intrigued, and they'll go check it out. Thank you very much for coming to All Paws Pet Talk Radio. All right, everybody, we got two more guests today. It's going to be a busy show, and I might be able to insert a little bit of some of the paranormal experiences I've had over the years, or you might want to go to DeborahWolfOnline.com to see some of those, hear some of those old radio shows. I had a guest, an author of a book called Ghost Cats once, and I've had her on this show too, Dusty Rainbolt. You may remember her. So we talked a lot of ghost pet stories, but I bet you Sayward's is very, very interesting. Check it out. She's a great writer. All right, everybody, stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
And anytime you're near, I love you.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Oh,
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, Deb Wolf, your host. And right now we have a product. We're going to talk about a product that has the coolest name. We're talking to Bonnie Parker about No Mo. Oh, welcome to the show, Bonnie.
Thank you. Well, it's good to be here.
Well, I know you're calling all the way from Georgia. I'm up here in Canada. One thing we have in common the whole world over is stinky pet odors, urine stains, cats who miss the litter box. Maybe your dog is sick once and he has an accident, but then it becomes a chronic problem because he keeps thinking that's his bathroom. How can you help us, Bonnie?
Well, and that's true. That's a universal problem. If you have pets, you are going to have problems with accidents. And we had the same kind of problem, and we looked the world over, it seemed like, to try to find a product. So that's how No Mo O came to be in existence, is we needed a product that worked, you know. And so that's how we do help. No Mo O is a safe product that works to get rid of any accident problem, and it works on a lot of other things. But as far as the pet market, urine, any accident, it really works.
Well, I always worry about safety. You know, animals lick and smell and get it on their feet and get it in their mouth. How safe is No Mo O?
No Mo O is a non-toxic. It's non-flammable. It's non-irritating. It's biodegradable. And it's also cruelty-free. I think that the buzz, if you will, that I hear out in the market is people are looking for a product that works, but more important, it has to be safe. And
yeah, absolutely.
No Mo O is that product.
Well, the other thing that people are always talking about is the antioxidants, cleaners with that, and that there's, you know, there's so many buzzwords nowadays, but I wonder, how has the industry changed? Like, what have you noticed?
There's a lot of product out there. I think because there is such a need for the product that works, you see a lot of folks coming into the marketplace with products out there. And there's a lot of products that are considered green and those sorts of things. No Mo O, and I can't speak for anybody else, I can just speak for us, we have a product that has a natural enzymed base, which is safe. But it takes that natural enzyme for the product to work. And I think there's a lot of products out there in the industry that have come along that don't work.
That's so true. They mask the odor. They work for the human. I walk in the room and I smell lemon or lavender, but my cat still smells cat pee. So it's really not very effective. That's what a lot of the products out there are like. I'm interested in asking, what does that mean that it has an enzyme? I know we have enzymes in our body that help us digest our food, but I'm not really clear how an enzyme would work on my carpet.
Well, what happens is your enzymes get down into, if you have the correct enzymes, they go to work actively on the stain and the odor, okay? And they will continue to work because it's actually their living organism. So it will get in there and it will work. And long after you walk away, those enzymes will still be in there working. And
it's like they eat it. It's like in your stomach, the good bacteria.
They eat it. That's
like
a good way to put it.
Okay, I get it. They live off it. They love it. They live there and they eat it. Oh, right on.
That's right.
And it's gone.
That's right.
Okay. Does it stain? Like, will it stain, discolor or stain the carpet or do anything damaging to dog beds and that kind of thing?
What we very clearly say on our label that if you are afraid of something like that, you should test it. You should test a small spot. But I will tell you, in our history, we have not had a problem with that whatsoever. No Mo O, we have even seen it used on silk pillows. And it, you know, you would think even a water stain, but we have had testimonies of how marvelous it works even on that. We're pleased with that kind of thing.
I hope you'll send it to me so I can try it here at Camp Good Dog. We certainly have lots of dog stains, but I think my cats are even worse. And I think if people out there were to purchase a black light and go through their house, they might be surprised. What do you think?
Well, cat urine probably is by far the worst urine odor there is, in my opinion, and I think in a lot of others.
We've actually even had a gentleman purchase an OOO, and he had had his cats urinate into the air conditioning system, into his grates, if you will, on the floor. And he was every time an air conditioning system comes on, we have cat urine. Will this work? You know, I never guarantee. It, yes, exactly. And so I never guarantee anything. I said, well, here's what I do guarantee. If you can get NOMO-O to the source of the problem, it's going to get rid of that urine smell and odor and stain. So it was a funny testimony. He called me back, and I wasn't sure how to take it at first. He said, well, I'm calling you to tell you that it works, but it took me half a bottle. And I said, really? And our bottles come in a 16-ounce. I said, really? So what you're telling me is it worked, and it took 8 ounces of our product, and you didn't have to change your air conditioning system? Yay! That was the best testimony I ever got. So, yes, it does work on cat urine.
That saved the guy so much money. But think about the carpets, the underlay, the furniture. There are a lot of houses that I walk into that smell like cat pee, and the people don't even know it. So we're going to go to break pretty soon. I want to ask you, what do you think makes your product stand out? Because there really are a lot. What makes it different? Why should people check out NOMO-O?
Well, you know, and that question's always a kind of a tough one, because it's asking me, how am I separated from the competition? And it's not because I can't answer that. I just never have believed in getting business by putting down somebody else's product. So I'm going to keep this one kind of simple. NOMO-O works. It is safe. It does have multi-purposes. It, you know, you can use it on a lot of other things than urine and accidents. We just market it that way. And it, like you said, it has a great name. That's all I usually like to tell people is try it. We would love to see it in everybody's home because it is an amazing problem solver. But we like for people to make their own decisions. So we're like, you know, if you're looking for that product that really does what it says, then try an MOO and make that decision for yourself. And I really don't think they'll be disappointed.
Well, thank you very much. We only have a few seconds left. Where can they get NOMO-O?
You know, the best place on the show here to tell people, go to my website. It is no-mo-o.com. We put the dashes in there. It would look like no moo. So no-mo-o.com. And that's the best place. We do have it, like, in South Georgia, because that's where we, you know, started. We have it in Ace Hardware. We have it in Walgreens. There's different stores around it, but they're more of the local level. We've got it in some pet stores. But for your area, and just go to, you know, our website, and that's the best thing.
Okay, everybody. Also, so go check out NOMO-O.com. We've been talking to Bonnie Parker. Thank you very much, Bonnie. We're all out of time. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with our next guest in a minute.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we have a few segments left today. We're going to chat a little bit. I might weave in some of those paranormal stories, maybe, maybe not. Maybe I'll save them for later. Last week, I told you about this experience I had with a chuck and a Rottweiler and a pit bull. and the dogs parked and me going up to them and how I made sure there were no children watching because I was doing the wrong thing. And that you have to really, really watch. If your children are watching, you don't touch strangers' dogs. Even if the strangers' dogs want you to, ask the humans first. So I was talking about that on air and I got a whole bunch of emails about it, including one from the guy who owned the dogs who said, actually, it's a Dobie Roddy cross, okay? That doesn't make it any less dangerous. You do not want your kids reaching their hands into pet dogs and trucks, and you want to show them the proper habit. So I just want to end with that on that topic because there was a whole flurry of emails and conversations and people asking how I knew the dogs were willing to be touched and what the body language was and all that. We'll do on a future show, I promise you. We'll get to the body language because people are really into that. But just the main lesson I was trying to tell in that story was be careful what your children see you doing because they'll copy and maybe make a mistake that could end up getting them bitten because, you know, a lot of boys ages 6 to 12 get bitten. So let's be extra careful when our kids are watching. All right, so now we're going to switch tracks a little bit, talk about dog training, talk to Georgina Bradley. Welcome to the show, Georgina.
Thank you, Deborah. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. I've been on radio for a while chatting with people all over the world, and now I'm chatting with you. You're a dog trainer. You have Dog Stars Training Academy, so my audience can orient themselves here, and you're in my local neck of the woods up in Vancouver. And, well, you get to work with dogs in movies, so I've got a bunch of questions for you that I know my audience would love to know, like, what do you look for in a dog for the movies?
Well, when we look for dogs for movies, we look for dogs that are well socialized, good with other dogs, people, kids, new situations, and that have a really, really strong foundation of obedience training.
Okay, what about cats? What about prey drive? Is that a factor? Because I would think it might be.
Depends on the action
and the
that's
job.
Required. Controlling mm-hmm. the prey drive would be something to consider with a retriever or a Vizsla, something that is more prey-driven, like retriever dogs or working dogs. So we mainly look for the trainability and the sociability of the dogs.
So if someone has a pet dog that's good everywhere, gets all kinds of exceptions made, places that say no dogs allowed to be, oh, you could bring him in here, he's so good, that kind of dog, goes everywhere, can be everywhere, never is aggressive toward anybody or anything, listens to commands all the time, and probably enjoys it, right? A dog who likes to learn tricks, is that also part of it?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So the work ethic of the doggy is something we also look at. If they have a little bit of a lazy attitude, it might be a bit more challenging. But sometimes we go on just what the look of the doggy is, if it's mm-hmm. for a photo shoot or a live event or something like that, that they don't really need too much training.
Too many
involved.
Skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess sometimes you can match the skill set to the dog. Like they need a dog who will sit there and do nothing. Well, you might have one who maybe doesn't have a very good work ethic, but that happens to be his best trick, sitting there and doing nothing. You know, like sometimes you might get a match. How would someone who's listening to the show right now, if they think they've got a dog like this, what should their next step be? I mean, I think they should review come, sit, stay, heel, get their dog super, super responsive and happy to comply with all the basics. But then what?
Well, a good way to start to see if they are ready for kind of film work and get them prepared for any kind of auditions that come their way would be to take our group classes of acting class. We also offer them privately as well. But in a group environment, we get to see them working with their fellow canines and their human counterparts. And we get to work them to train them for basic film behaviors, like go to a mark, look on command, give us a bow, wipe their face, shake their head, all sorts of cute things that that are looked for when we do auditions for dogs on a regular
basis. Okay, so common tricks you could start by training your dog. If you're not in the area and you can't come get the training at Dogstar, common tricks they could do would be things like high five, wave, shake paw, say your prayers, maybe. What kind of, let's give them a whole list to work on. Because the people who are interested in this have bored dogs at home that seem to need a new trick every week, right? That's the group you're talking to. Maybe they're Jack Russells, maybe they're Border Collies. They could be any breed, really. Just an intense dog who likes to do stuff. Okay, so what else can they, what other, maybe wave would be good?
If they're not able to make our classes, we do have a DVD available from our website that they can purchase. Okay. Okay. And the way that we ask people to, or when they come into the classes, they're learning how to really, really command their dogs to do the behaviors. A lot of dogs, when they learn tricks, they like to offer the behaviors whenever they think it's appropriate. But in a film environment or for a job, per se, we really want that dog to be showing that behavior when we ask for it and only when we ask for it. So that's where the classes or even looking at the do-it-yourself at home DVD will help you with. Because it's more of a precise training. Getting the behaviors at the beginning is awesome. So teaching them a basic sit stay and then a wave and then a shake a paw are good things. The list is about 40 long. So.
Oh, nice. Okay. Okay. You know, I just saw, I was talking about this on air just the other day. There was a new show on TV. I can't remember the name of it, but I did say it on air. And just right in the very beginning of the show, the character you're supposed to not like, very fancy dressed guy with a really expensive car, is driving through this alley. And this homeless person that I guess you're supposed to be sympathetic toward gets his little Jack Russell. He stands in the way of the car, so the car has to stop. And then he motions his little Jack Russell. It jumps onto the hood of the car, the very top of the sunroof of the car, and urinates all over the car, and then jumps down. And when I saw that, I thought, oh, boy, the people who own that dog now have a big problem. If he wasn't taught to stop, if he does that whenever he sees a car with a sunroof, they are in so much trouble. So we're going to come back and do a couple more segments. We're going to be talking with Georgina Bradley about dog stars and about how to make your dog into a dog star, maybe, but also about this. When you do teach a trick, I know they have problems with this with kids in acting. Sometimes the kid is taught something very naughty and then the kid goes home and keeps doing it for attention. What about the dogs? Is that a problem? Well, we'll ask her. Stay tuned on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And anytime you're near, I love you.
I'm hungry. Can't wait, I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait, I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Hello. You're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and Georgina and I have discovered that I don't think our paths have ever crossed, but we certainly have the same turf. We're in and around the same neighborhoods and places all the time, and I told her that I run Camp Good Dog. If you want to see the happy dogs swimming and playing and frolicking, their silly faces caught on camera, go to Camp Good Dog on Facebook. That's where they're at. And I'm at Deborah Wolf, Pet Expert on Facebook, too. But we were talking about how to get a dog to come off, okay? So you train them this annoying, obnoxious, rude trick. Maybe he's supposed to bark up and knock someone over when they're carrying groceries or something like that for the movie. Okay, do you ever have the problem where he keeps doing it after, Georgina?
Well, that's the whole part of training, is we're only asking them, we're only going to pay them and reward them for doing it when we ask them to do it, if that makes sense. So if they start to offer it when we're in training, we never pay it, and we give them an alternate incompatible behavior that we're going to redirect them to. So sometimes there is the odd occasion where a dog that is taught to dig for a job will go home and dig in their yard. So
So it does.
Yeah, discover sometimes. A love of digging. I could see that.
Yes.
Or a love of garbage eating or something like that. But I get what you're saying. And it's really interesting to me because it's opposite to what we do with the basic stuff. You know, when you see your puppy and he happens to pee outside, you, oh, pee outside, good boy. Or you happen to get, you know, your dog, maybe he's a rude jumper. The second he sits, even though you haven't told him to yet, you say, sit, good boy, good boy. You know, but you know, you're saying when they offer it completely on their own, you ignore it or redirect it, which is very different from what we usually do. So that's pretty important, right?
Yes. Well, in the beginning, we can reward them for offering it, but then we want to get it on cue only. So it's just polishing up and firming up the request section of that offering,
right. Okay.
Having the dog offer things. Yeah.
Now, I've been training for a long time, and I know you too, and there's certain trends that have come and gone over the years as I've watched with dog training. And there was a period, I think it was the late 80s, maybe early 90s, where it seemed like dogs were being led around by cookies. People were just stuffing. It was like treat, treat, treat constantly, which is not what I do. Now, I do use food rewards sometimes, well, all the time, praise. Lots of times, cuddles, touch, balls, whatever the dog works for, I use. In your movie training, what do you use? What is it what works, or is it always food? What are you using to tempt the dog and reward the dog?
Whatever motivates the dog, and the easiest thing is to use food because it's the we find it's the easiest thing to get doggies to focus on when they're working all day because a toy can lose its luster very quickly. Love, they get it all the time. So food is one thing that we can add more of and make it extra special. So rather than just kibble, maybe we'll bring out a slice of ham and give them that or a carrot, whatever they're motivated by. But we've worked some doggies just for their tennis ball or their chucket ball or a frisbee, and some cats, we worked them for catnip. So food can be...
Ooh, that would be tricky, though, because then when they get the reward, they're like stoned and cuckoo, right? I mean, you have to get it all the way in the can. You're certain it's cut before you... Right? You got to make sure you don't need to redo it. If you need a second go-over, that cat's stoned. He's not participating anymore.
Yeah, that would be a very special cat.
Oh, it's a very special cat.
He was able to work lots after his first little taste of the catnip. Like, we would just give him a sniff, and then he'd work again.
He sounds like a functioning addict, I hate to tell you. Okay, well, we won't criticize his habits. I'm sure he's doing quite well. I want to ask you, though, with the food, even when I do use food for dogs, and I do quite a lot as a reward in training, I start to phase it out. So if the dog's learning something difficult or new or very tempting for him, I might give him the treat each time he gets it right. But over time, I start to give him the treat every third time or every 10th time or when he really, you know, the retriever leaves the pond to come to me because I called her. Okay, that's a good one. Kind of like when you'd give a sticker to a kid. But in this scenario, I'm guessing you have to keep the treats going all day. Right? Does the dog ever just not want to work anymore? Or how do you deal with that? Oh, they do.
Well, okay. part of us preparing for dogs for roles, there's a time frame of either a few days or a few weeks or even a few months, depending on the complexity of the script, where we're determining at what point does that dog have had enough? Like, when do they fill up? When do they need a break? They need breaks throughout the day, but there is a shutdown point for everybody, including people, and that's part of the preparation is figuring out what that dog is capable of. Jack Russell can tend to go all day. But
right.
There are certain breeds like a St. Bernard or pugs or something with a more push-in face can have a harder time just slowing down, and they need a bit more rest sometimes.
Do you know what I find with the pugs and especially the pugs, particularly the pugs? It's a memory problem. It's like they're willing to do the trick. They want so badly to please you, but they have no idea what they did yesterday. I really see that with the breed. Whereas some of these dogs, they know what you want. They just don't want to give it to you when you're training a dog who's maybe being a little bit bratty at home, for example. So I guess you do have to know all your breeds. Have you worked with animals other than dogs or other than cats?
Yeah, I've trained some wolves for a film, some birds, some rats, the odd turtle here and there.
Turtle training. What are you talking about? Wait, I mean, a turtle doesn't... What does a turtle do? What trick?
Well, it was more like turtle wrangling rather than training. The turtle just had to walk across a screen for food. And then he had to sit there still for food.
Well, that's not too hard. Okay. What about the cats? What have you trained cats to do?
We trained some cats for a film called iRobot, and they had to do a stunt job, really, where they had to run with our talent on the film. They had to be picked up. They had to be in a very shaky, stunt-ridden house where the walls were falling in. So if you recall the beginning of that film, there's about 30 seconds, maybe a minute of the cat doing his work. So that took about
That's amazing. No, well, it's amazing because I have a, you know, I do train cats too, and, but I have a harder time with cats and dogs, and the spook factor is always there. Will they get spooked in the middle of the work, you know?
Yeah, so that's part of finding the right cat for the job. Mm. And we had four different cats for that one role because each cat was trained to do the specific action. Not one cat could do everything because it takes too much toll on that animal. And similar with dogs. Sometimes we do have two or three dogs that are doing that lead role, and some are specified to do the long-distance running scenes, and some are the close-up shots, and some are the really cuddly, kissy face shots.
We are talking with Georgina Bradley, and we're coming back for another segment, so don't worry. If you didn't find out exactly how much money you think your little dog star or cat star could make or how to get into this, we will be talking about that next, so don't worry. Georgina? We'll be back in a second. Get your stories ready. All right, everybody on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We will find out how to make your little fluffy or rover a movie star. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that I really do.
I really do.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, Deborah Wolf. And once again, we're here with Georgina Bradley. I did tease you, and I said we're going to tell you how you can make your dog or cat a star. Yeah, okay, let's just go there. They're waiting for that. Okay, Georgina, how do they do it?
Well, sending us an email with your information about you and your dog so we can contact you. And then we decide what route you want to take with either an audition so we can see what kind of skills your animal has. Or you can come take some acting classes. We also have a DVD online that you can download and teach your dog all these amazing tricks and basic foundation film behaviors and have fun with it. We do clicker training in our videos, so it's a fast way to help your dog connect with what we want on a very positive level.
A clicker training must make it easier for a dog to transfer between trainers on the set also, because everybody's so the same. So that would be a help. If you're thinking of getting your dog into acting, it wouldn't hurt to have him clicker train too. Even if he's perfect with you, clicker training makes him perfect with everybody else. So, okay, I want to ask you something. I was sort of joking about it on the break, but I want to ask you something. I don't know where you're going to come in on this, so I'm kind of opening up a can of worms here, perhaps. But I've had several arguments on the show and other shows when I have other trainers on, because we're both dog trainers, where we have a disagreement as to techniques, methods, and tools. In particular, lately, it seems there's this swing back to what I would call unnecessary harshness, where they're using pain as a motivator and they're using shock collars, electric, all kinds of things that are unpleasant to the dog or painful or harmful to train the dog. And what I often argue with these people is, you know what? You don't need to do any of that to train a dog to be a seeing eye dog. You don't, and you won't, and you won't ever see them do that. So stop telling me that gentle, loving, positive training is only for pets, that working dogs and that real A-plus reactions need a stricter set, a stricter, more equipment and more tools. So I argue with them about that, and I say, you know what, if we can get a dog so trained he can see for the blind without ever causing him pain, then you don't need to cause pain to all these pet dogs out there. So I'm asking you, when you work with the dogs in the movies, that's precision work. Time is money, millions of dollars. They've budgeted. They've got actors standing by. The set's on. You know, there's no time for error on this either. So do you have to use electric shock? Do you have to use pain? Or are you able to do this precision work without pain?
We promote positive training and teaching the dog what they're there to do and that they're enjoying what they do. So pain and reinforcements that are pain motivated aren't required.
Do you ever put an electric shock collar on a dog to participate in a movie?
I've never done that. No, I've never actually put a shock collar on a dog for any reason. Yeah, I use positive reinforcement methods.
So that means you get the dog to do what you want, and then you make him rewarded for that in a way that he enjoys so much that he wants to do it again. Is that kind of what? Okay, and you repeat that and repeat that and repeat that. Okay, well, I'm glad we got that, because now I can say not only are they able to train seeing eye dogs with no pain, but even in the movie work where time is money, they use all positive training methods. So that's good. So you can get your dog into this work with no pain and no pressure and have a good time, because that's a happy dog is going to work better. Even guard dog work, even protection work, a happy, well-adjusted, pain-free dog works better. So I just wish we could convince people of that. Worldwide. Okay, so have you ever had any of your graduates do anything great? I mean, you told us about the cats. Anybody else?
We've had a couple of dogs do some work on TV. We did a commercial for Honda. We had a duck toller retriever work for their new CRV that came out a couple of years ago. And we did a job for Suzuki. We did a job for Sony. And we've done a job for Walgreens and Cymbalta. So a lot of commercials that come through our doors. Bigger films that I'm a part of, the dogs are already provided for us. So some of the doggies that come through the acting classes kind of miss out on those opportunities because they've already cast them and things like that. So it's just getting your name to us is the first step. And then we keep our roster very close at hand when we have jobs that come up, and we check the roster and make sure that we're available and ready for the job.
Right on. It sounds like it could be very exciting. How much could they make in a day for their dog if the dog got a job?
Anywhere from $50 to $300 a day is a guideline. So anywhere between there, depending on the length of the day and where it is and what the dog's abilities are showing up as, so what they're asked to do, and also what the production's budget is.
Does the owner come along, or is the owner expected to stay home?
Well, it depends. Again, sometimes we have closed sets, so it's a limited access to the location, perhaps. We did a CBC pilot for Animal News Now, and one of our dogs that has been through acting class was part of that pilot, and the owners were there just to enjoy the day. And the CBC had a wonderful time with everybody joining us, and I had no problem with it. As long as the dog worked well with the owners there, then we're all good.
Okay, everybody, we've actually run out of time. We only have a little bit left. So we've been talking to Georgina Bradley, and she's from Dog Stars Training Academy. Have you got a website for that? Is it dogstars.ca? Dogstars.ca with capital D and capital S. That's right, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so go to dogstars.ca and make your dog or cat famous. If they're far away, should they check it out anyway?
Absolutely, yes. We work sometimes in England,
Italy, we've gone to the Yukon, and sometimes in the States. So you never know where we're going to show up next.
So check it out. Maybe sign your dog up. All right, everybody. I'll be back next week on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Until then, from me, Deborah Wolf, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.